Good evening and welcome to Lesbian Nation. On my way to the studio this morning, I noticed some posters all up and down the street. And the first thing that takes your eye as you see them is in large letters, FBI, the 10 most wanted list for crimes against women. And underneath that, there are 10 pictures. And these are of David Rockefeller of Chase Manhattan Bank, Walter Wriston of First National City Bank, Charles F. Luce of Con Edison, James J. Needham of the New York Stock Exchange, William Renshard of Chemical Bank, W. M. Ellinghouse of New York Telephone, Dan Seymour of J. Walter Thompson, S. I. Newhouse of Newhouse Newspapers, James E. Duffy of the American Broadcasting Company, and L. B. Maytag of National Airlines. Underneath the pictures, the copy reads, "These public enemies have committed mass crimes in violation of federal and state civil rights laws, and are still at large. The criminals are being sought in 19 exclusive bars and athletic clubs, where they are believed to be posing as respectable citizens. Warning. Women, approach these men with extreme caution, as they are known to 1. Refuse to hire you because you are a woman. 2. Pay you less because you are a woman. 3. Refuse to consider you for a raise or promotion because you are a woman. In order to bring this gang to justice, anyone with information on them should contact the FBI immediately." And it's signed, Feminist Bureau of Investigation. That was the group known as Sister. Tonight we're going to have an interview with one of the most respected members of the gay community in New York. And after that, I'm going to give you news of the weekend. This is an interview with Julie Lee of the New Jersey Daughters of Bilitis. Julie, you've been with DOB for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, I was just thinking last night. I think I started in 64. 65. It might have been late 64, 65. And the funny thing is that I found DOB indirectly through WBAI. And this is something that I've always been amused about.
How did that happen?
WBAI had a meeting at this, I forget the name of the place, one of the public places in New York, and the Mattachine had a meeting at the same place at the time. And what I did, I wrote into Mattachine, I got their address, and they recommended that I go to DOB, finding out that I was female, and this is how I found out. So if I hadn't gone to the WBAI meeting at the time, I would never have found out about DOB. I had no idea it existed.
Had you been gay for a long time before you went to the meeting?
Yes, well, Ginny and I got together in 1950, so it was quite a while before we found DOB. We had no gay social life at the time at all. We had a circle of gay friends around the 50s, but then sort of the bars closed and we got busy in New Jersey, and we just didn't know any gay social life or any gay people at all for years until we got started in DOB.
That must have been a pretty lonely experience.
Not really. We had a good social life. We were active in sports car activities, and we really had a very nice time generally, but I missed being with women, and I certainly was delighted to find that there was an organization called DOB where we could socialize and also fight for gay liberation or lesbian liberation.
So then you got into DOB. Did you meet Del and Phil at that time?
No, I didn't meet Del and Phil until 1970 at the convention in New York. I hadn't known them before. We had corresponded and we had spoken on the telephone a couple of times, but I didn't actually meet them until then. And that was the only convention I ever attended. I was never able to go to any out-of-town conventions, like you did.
Oh, well. Anyway, Del and Phil have just published this book called Lesbian Woman, and I understand that you're taking on the responsibility of distributing it on the East Coast. I wonder how come that happened.
Well, not exactly. The thing is that Del and Phil knew that I had an considerable connections in this part of the country, and they asked me whether I would send out announcements and whether I would help them distribute the book a little bit, and that's what I'm doing.
Is it being distributed through a regular publisher or what? I don't understand.
Well, the book is published by Glide Publications, which of course is limited in what it can do as far as distribution is concerned. I understand that some of the local bookstores have difficulties getting the book from the wholesaler, and I have just written and trying to find out where the hang-up is. I understand the local bookstores do not carry the book yet. I have been selling the book from my home, but this is not a very efficient way. But I've been talking about it a lot and letting everyone know that the book is out. I think there's some difficulty in distributing it in this part of the country.
Well, supposing one of our listeners, wants to read the book and can't get it in the bookstores as an impatient person, how do you do it?
This is a real problem. It's published by Glide Publications, 330 Ellis Street in San Francisco. But I really don't know what would happen if someone just wrote in. It's $7.95, probably, if you'd send a check, you'd get the book. But I think it's a very inefficient way of distributing it, and I hope that the letter that I wrote yesterday will have some effect and that something will be done so the book will be in local bookstores very soon.
Well, if people want to try it, what's that address again?
330 Ellis Street in San Francisco.
And that's the Glide Foundation.
Glide Publications. It is the same place as the Glide Foundation, yes.
I've heard a lot about the Glide Foundation since I've been in the movement. Just what do they do? I've never met the people or been to their office.
I'm not sure. I had very little contact with them until now. They publish books of civil rights, civil liberties type things, also religious type things. But what they do, they're an educational foundation from what I understand. Phyllis has been working for them in a writing capacity for some time, but I'm not really familiar with the organization as such. I believe it has a religious background originally, but I think they have branched out since then.
And they seem to be involved somewhat in gay civil rights. I mean, I've
only
heard of them in connection with things in San Francisco.
Yes, they have, but they're also doing a lot of other things, peace things. They're publishing books on by peace activists, and they've done something on Dr. Martin Luther King, it's just a general civil rights, civil liberties, human rights type of thing, and they, of course, they've always supported the gay cause.
Let's get down to the book. From my knowledge, from my reading and some personal background, I've met Phil and Del a couple of times. They seem to be uniquely qualified to write a book on the history of the lesbian movement in America, since they seem to have founded it.
Well, I think they're not only uniquely qualified to write about the lesbian movement, but I think about lesbianism in general, because I don't think there are any two women in this country today who've been in it longer, in the movement, in the life, who have done more, spoken more, written more. They have written extensively in the past. They wrote articles. They're writing articles. They have written articles for any number of publications. They have spoken all over the country. They have studied. They have debated, and they have done a lot of thinking about it, and I really think they are the two women who should have written this book, and I'm most thankful that they did write it. I finally have something to give to people when they say, what can we read? And I never had this in the past. I always would say, well, there are articles here and article there, and you have to dig them out, and there was really not one book that told it as it is, and Lesbian Woman, the book really tells it as it is in every way. It's an education between two covers.
Oh, I found it the most comprehensive thing I've seen on the entire subject. I mean, disregarding all of the nonsense that doctors have published over the years.
Well, it is really a very personal book in many ways. It's really Del and Phyllis's development from their meeting to today, but it's so much more. It not only tells about the lesbian movement in America, it also tells about the lesbian movement as it pertains to the feminist movement and the contact between the two and the conflicts between the two. There's an excellent article on sexuality, lesbian sexuality, in there, which I just thought was really beautifully done. There is something about lesbian mothers, women who have had heterosexual experience and find themselves to be lesbians. There's one chapter on lesbian paranoia, real or imagined, which goes into some of the real problems that the lesbian in this country runs into almost daily. There's just everything in there. The history of Daughters of Belitis, which is something that many people are interested in. A lot of things in there that I never knew. It's just all there.
I know there are quite a number of women in New York that I've met would really be interested in the lesbian mothers chapter because they find themselves in that position. Del, according to the book, well, according to what I know of her, has a daughter, doesn't she?
Yes, Del has a daughter who lives in this area. As a matter of fact, she is married, the daughter is, and has two children, and has always been very supportive of her mother's lesbianism. She always felt very good about her mother being with Phyllis, and she never apparently had any problems in that direction. There's also a chapter in here on lifestyles and on growing up gay. It's just really, to me, it's the dream come true after 20 years.
The first time I met Del and Phil, I mean, I had been given information in New York. People in New York didn't know them at all. And so I went to San Francisco, and I was staying at Rita LaPorte's home. And the impression I got was, these were the founding mothers, and they were very august ladies, and I should mind my P's and Q's. So Rita took me to a gay bar to meet them, and, I tried to, comb my hair and straighten up and all that. And the two of them walk in, plop down at the bar, and demand martinis, and they said that they were extremely exhausted because they had spent the whole day picketing San Francisco State College, helping out the Black Students Union. Mm-hmm. And somehow, in those days, I think this was 1969, maybe? Or maybe, no, I don't remember whether it was 68 or 69.
Well, the convention was in 68.
Mm-hmm. That was the Denver Convention.
I forget what it was. Mm-hmm.
But no, this was the spring of 69. It was before the gay liberation mm-hmm. riots.
I see.
And I was trying to behave like a lady, and all of a sudden these two... And also I expected them to be terribly conservative.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
And, all of a sudden they're picketing with the Black Students mm-hmm. Union, so suddenly I realized I could relax and that they were all right.
They're very down-to-earth women and very wonderful, very warm and very brilliant women. They came out of the civil rights movement much as Ginny and I came out of the civil rights movement. As a matter of fact, reading the book again reinforced my feelings that Del and Phyllis's lives, and Ginny and mine, have been very parallel in many ways. Also in the way their a relationship developed from a sort of a butch femme relationship to a much more egalitarian relationship. And I think Jane and I had pretty much the same experience. But they are very down-to-earth women who have been in the streets a lot and have worked in the nitty-gritty of things. They're not at all armchair strategists or people who keep away from the thick of the battle. They're right in there, and they have gone along with so many other women from the civil rights to the lesbian cause to the feminist cause. Dell has started the Lesbian Mothers Union now. They just keep progressing as the need arises. They don't stand still, even though both they and we are 50-ish, and people sometimes slow down at that age.
Well, I remember when I first met the two of you at DOB, people sort of regarded you as, you know, the women who had been around New York DOB since earliest time, and who were sort of, again, I suppose because of the age difference, I was given the impression that somehow I had to mind my P's and Q's, and that people would be terribly conservative.
Well,
and
that's lived a joke.
Out in this terribly conservative section of the country called New Jersey.
Oh, that's really funny. No, actually, we haven't been around that long. Barbara Giddings is the woman who founded New York DOB, but we came in a little after she did.
When did you first get to know Barbara Giddings? Was she in the movement as long as all that?
Well, actually, by the time I got to New York DOB, Barbara no longer was active in New York. I remember she once came for a what we at that time called a gab and jab, which we now call a rap. She and Kay came in, and she was speaking to us. I don't remember. It was a specific subject. I forget what it was. But that was several years after. But actually, I didn't meet Barbara until about 2 or 3 years after I was with New York DOB. Barbara by that time was in Philadelphia and working there and working with Dr. Kameny on civil rights and civil liberties of homosexuals, and she was really not into the DOB part of the movement much anymore. I believe when I first joined DOB she was still editing The Ladder. Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. But within a year or two she no longer did that, and then she sort of dropped out of DOB a little bit. She's still with us very much in spirit, but she has her own interests now. And
is she still working in the homophile movement?
Well, I don't know. She's now engaged in the Library Association and really is concentrating her efforts on that. I think she feels a little stronger about women's liberation than she used to.
This is beginning to feel like old home week, you know, whatever happened to so-and-so.
Well, it's a comparatively small group, those of us who are really stuck with it and who are still working in it. It seems that women come and women go, but there's a small core group, and I guess we've known each other for many years.
It has been quite a while. I was just sitting and totaling up, you know, how many years I've known my various friends since I first got into DOB. I remember when I first started, Shirley Wheeler was the president, and we had this little hole in the wall of a place. I think it was
24 West 38th Street.
Right.
You see, when I first joined, we were in an ex-post office on 28th Street. And Shirley Wheeler and Marion felt that it was a bad neighborhood. It was an extremely bad neighborhood. And she felt that if we moved to a better neighborhood, 38th Street or 5th Avenue, where we had an opportunity to get a small place, that more the professional women would come and join us. And as it turned out, it didn't happen. At all.
Well, to my recollection, very few professional women ever got into DOB until after the gay liberation thing and after the women's liberation movement started recognizing lesbians.
Well, actually, in DOB itself, we had very few women in the professions. I never understood this, but that's the way it was. Well, we were 7 West 38th Street for 2 years, and then our lease ran out and we just couldn't pay it anymore. Then we went to 240 West 38th Street, and we were there for quite a while. And this is when DOB New York really started to grow, and when we used to have overflow crowds and famous feminists speaking to us, and that's really when DOB New York came on the map.
Yeah, I remember one of those famous feminists who spoke to us after she wrote Sexual Politics.
Yes, indeed.
Well, whatever did happen to New York DOB? I haven't been to any meetings lately.
Well, after we moved to the loft on Prince Street, there was quite a bit of internal dissension, and some of the groups felt things weren't done the way they wanted it, and other groups felt things weren't done the way they wanted it, and in the end, what always happens, there was enough dissension that the thing just sort of fell apart, which was unfortunate because the loft on Prince Street was lovely, and we helped a lot of women. We did a lot for many, and it's really a loss. I understand there's a group trying to revive DOB, but we're not sure what the charter situation is at this time.
Charter?
The New York Charter. You see, every group using the name DOB has to have permission from the corporation, which is located in San Francisco. And there seems to be some question as to whether New York DOB is still entitled to use the name or not. But right now they're struggling to reorganize, and I think this is something we'll have to get into once they're organized again. But we have sort of moved things to New Jersey in a way. I'm in New Jersey now, and we are doing on a smaller scale in New Jersey what we did in New York, in the loft and at 240 West 38th Street before that.
What's going on around the rest of the country? Are there other DOB chapters?
Well, the only really active chapters presently is the original San Francisco chapter, which was started in 1955 and has never stopped. And the Boston chapter is still active and doing the full range of DOB activities. There was a chapter in Los Angeles, which apparently is inactive right now. I don't know whether it's going through a transition period or whether it is being dropped. Many groups have gone over to lesbian feminism and sort of prefer this to the old DOB idea. Although really, I don't see very much difference between the two.
Mm. You think many of the groups are now identifying more with the women's liberation movement?
Well, I don't know about San Francisco and Boston. I'm not that close to them. I do know about New Jersey, and New Jersey is strongly feminist in its outlook and its outreach in every way. Although we in New Jersey have decided to separate the political from the social. There are many women in New Jersey. All they want is a social, a place where they can meet socially, in comfortable surroundings, and dance and rap and discuss. And we have separated this totally from the political area, both from the women's liberation and from the homophile area, so that women who feel more comfortable in a non-political atmosphere are not pressured into the political area. So we find this is best. We do our political work too, but it's sort of separate from the rest of the DOB. Mm. We concentrate in DOB itself on social and social service, especially helping women. The DOB post office box was in the August issue of Ms. Magazine, and we got to date 73 letters from all over the country, from 26 states out of the 50. Many women in desperate need of help, and this is the sort of thing that we feel DOB is uniquely for, more so than anything else, more so than even political or even social, because there are other things that do, other organizations that do social work, that do political work, but DOB does this social service, which very few other organizations do. No other women's organizations, gay women's organizations, as far as I know.
In other words, DOB has more outreach.
Yes, and it tries to help women in distress, women who need a hand, women who need referrals. Sometimes these women need legal aid, whatever. The letters range from I want a place where I can meet other women to I'm desperately in need of help. I just don't know whether I can live tomorrow. I got a letter today from a woman who's saying, you're the last place I'm writing to. If I can't get help from you, I don't think I can go on. And this is really uniquely what DOB New Jersey is doing. I know DOB in San Francisco is doing similar work. I'm not sure about Boston. I'm not that close to them.
Yeah, in reading Belle and Phil's book, what struck me about it, and what has always struck me as sort of strange, was the number of times they mentioned women who had committed suicide or attempted to commit suicide because of problems relating to their loneliness as lesbians, or being, you know, fired from jobs, disgraced by in front of their families and so on, you know, being persecuted. I've been pretty lucky. I've never had this experience, and it's always seemed somewhat unreal to me that somebody would actually go and kill themselves. But apparently, in a lot of parts of the country, it's not that uncommon for lesbians to think of suicide.
I don't find that so much, although I have had maybe half a dozen of the many hundreds of letters that have come to me have been women who just didn't know what to do the next day and didn't know how to go on. Mostly this was because they had finally found a lover and something had happened and the relationship had broken up. But what I find much more today is married women in their mid-30s with children, many of them still living with husbands, some of them in fairly decent marriages, who've suddenly discovered that they prefer women in every way, not just sexually, but also affectionately, that they just cannot relate to men anymore. And they are really in a very difficult position, because here they are with several children. Just the other day, a woman from this area wrote, and I met her in the city. She has 5 children. This is a very difficult situation with the children, with a husband. What do you do? How much can you give up of yourself in order to keep this sort of a situation together? And this is really where most of my letters come from these women who have somehow discovered later in life, after marriage, after children, that their preference lies with other women.
And this was not the case before? I mean, in the past, did you more often get frantic letters from women who didn't have children and husbands?
Well, I've only done this counseling for about 3 years, and this has been during the past 3 years, but of course, this has been after the upsurge of women's liberation. I think women's liberation has something to do with bringing these people to these women to realization of what they want and what they don't want. I never got many letters from people who've lost. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever had a letter from a woman who was despondent because she's lost a job, or even because she's lost her family. Most of the women that write to me, it's more of a more personal and less existential thing.
That was Julie Lee. For those of you who weren't able to make it to the parade today, or even for those of you who were but didn't hear about it, there's a party tonight at the Village Gate. It's being thrown by now, and once you pay your admission, which is something like $7 or $8, you get free food and free sangria, and a chance to meet the politicians, the women politicians, that is, who are going to be running in the election this November. For those of you who aren't particularly interested in that party, there's an all-women's dance at the GAA Firehouse at 33 Worcester Street tonight. Both of these starting around 8 or 9 o'clock. So by this time they should be underway, or by the time you get there. Tomorrow, at the Women's Firehouse, which is 243 West 20th Street, there's going to be an all-day benefit with music, poetry, refreshments, an art exhibit, and various other kinds of entertainment. So if you haven't figured out what you're doing this weekend, tomorrow's a good day to spend at the Women's Firehouse. All proceeds, I believe, are going to benefit the firehouse and hopefully to get it in shape for the winter. This is Martha Shelley for Lesbian Nation. Good night.